I really appreciate being led in worship because he inhabits the praise of his people. And that was just a powerful, powerful finish. Let's give a big hand to the worship team. Yep, my wife and I are part of the Cranston Christian Fellowship's family. And we want to just say to you guys how much we appreciate you guys, the encouragement that we receive, the pastoral care that we receive from Rick, his wife. Just yesterday, Elise and I were able to spend some great time with them. And let me just say, it was like a breath of fresh air. And we really appreciate your pastor because he pastors us as well. We are indeed part of the global team of Cranston Christian Fellowship. And so we're part of that group that is particularly charged with trying to see the gospel reaching to the very ends of the earth. So we're excited to be part of this fellowship. And we're particularly excited about the current series, Soul Care. And this series has caused me to begin to meditate on the value of your soul, of my soul. What is the value of a human soul? And I, to start out with, I would like to share maybe a fun fact, or a fact that maybe some of you might not find fun. Maybe you find it boring, but the fact is that the current value of the planet Earth is over $361 trillion. Now that seems like a staggering number, $361 trillion. That's a number that goes well beyond my little pea brain to be able to figure out exactly what that means. That sounds huge. But you know what Jesus says in the gospel? He says, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul?" Jesus is saying to each and every one of us that if you were to trade your soul for $361 trillion, that's a bad deal. The Creator God is saying to you that you are worth more than the entire planet Earth. And this is one of the reasons why the leadership of Cranston Christian Fellowship has set upon this series, Soul Care. It is because of the massive value that the Creator places on your soul. You've heard the phrase, put your money where your mouth is, right? And so let's look at how God does that when He says that your soul is worth more than the entire planet Earth. How did He put, as it were, His money where His mouth is in that regard? And the picture that we're going to see is beyond staggering, because when we get finished with this, you're going to see that your soul makes the entire value of the planet Earth look like less than a penny. How much is your soul worth? The Creator God left heaven, emptied Himself, and became a man to come and redeem your soul, to rescue you. How much is God worth? He created everything. He owns everything. His value exceeds the value of all of creation. What did He give for your soul? Himself. The value of the planet Earth pales in comparison to the Creator God. And He emptied Himself, and He became a man, and He dwelt among us, and He humbled Himself to the point of death, even death on a cross for your soul. For your soul. And so this church places such a high value on your soul and soul care because God does. It's His value that this series is all about. And let me just say, as I go into discussing grief, and every one of us that walks on this planet will experience grief. No matter how powerful you are, no matter how wealthy you might be, no matter what your situation is, you will experience grief. You will experience pain. It is impossible to walk on this broken planet without loss. It will occur. And the Creator God, in emptying Himself and becoming man, experienced grief and loss on a scale that exceeds all of the grief of humanity combined. And He experienced the grief and the loss, and we'll get into that, because He came to rescue and to redeem your soul. I am reminded of a story from the Gospel of Luke. Picture, if you will, 2,000 years ago, you're in ancient Palestine, ancient Israel, and the Jewish people were living in expectation that the Messiah, the Redeemer, would come. And it is a Sabbath day, and as was the custom of the Jewish people, they gathered together in this village. They gathered together in the synagogue. And in their midst was Jesus. Would have loved to have been there in that synagogue on that day. And Jesus was given the opportunity and the privilege of reading from the holy books. And he selected to read from Isaiah. Isaiah 61. And this is what it says at the very beginning of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He rolled up the scroll after reading that, handed it back to the attendant. He did not expound upon it. He sat down until all eyes, all the eyes of everyone in that synagogue, resting upon him. They were all looking at Jesus. And it was then that he said, today, this prophecy in your midst has come true. Can you imagine the people in that synagogue who had been waiting and praying and hoping that the Messiah would come? They knew that this was the prophecy concerning the Messiah. It just sends chills up and down my spine, just thinking about that. And he was saying to them, I'm here. I have arrived. Look to me. I am the one who can bound up your broken heart. I am the one. He came to rescue your soul. He came to redeem your soul. And he came when you experience loss and grief and pain and the broken heart, which each and every one of you will experience in this world. He came. And he says that he is the one who can bind up the brokenhearted. So I know it's true. I know it's true because God's word tells me that this is the truth. But I have also seen it over and over and over and over again. Jesus healing the brokenhearted. Share with you one story. I was in a refugee slum over in the Middle East in a one-room, rat-infested, putrid-smelling unit. And there was a woman that lived in that place with two small children. And she had experienced evil and loss on a scale that is just shocking. Every one of her men, her husband, her father, her brothers, her cousins, brutally murdered right before her eyes. Even some of her children. And then she was sold and sold and sold and sold too many times to count. To men who brutalized her and brutalized her and brutalized her and brutalized her. The level of loss, the level of grief, the level of a broken heart. And yet, what did I see? Peace. Peace that goes beyond comprehension. Joy that was beyond description. Because God, Jesus, had entered in and healed the brokenhearted. I am here to tell you, apart from the Creator God doing this, that broken heart was unfixable. It would have been impossible for that broken heart to be healed apart from Jesus. I want us to think a little bit more about Jesus. And I want us to meditate a little bit about what he experienced when he came here and became a man. In Isaiah 53, it says he was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Not only is he the one that can heal the brokenhearted, that can heal the grief that comes when you experience loss, he understands and he knows what you are going through, because he is the man of sorrow. He is the man who knew grief on a level that is beyond understanding. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Let me read to you from verse 44. It says in part of verse 44, and being in agony, the Creator God is in agony. He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Why was he in agony? Why was he experiencing so much grief and so much pain? It was because he knew that when he took on the sin of all of us, that God the Father would turn his face away, would forsake him. And I am here to tell you that that agony, that pain, that grief exceeds the grief of all of mankind. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. The triune God is one. It is a oneness that is beyond our comprehension. The love relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is beyond our comprehension, and they were one. And because He took on the sin of all of us, that oneness was broken. So the grief and the pain of that loss was beyond staggering. Only Jesus could have survived that level of grief and pain. There was no one else that could have survived that level of grief and pain. And so he knows and he understands when you suffer. He knows and understands the pain. So he is not only the one that can heal your broken heart, he understands. He understands. And that takes us to the Psalms. Rick asked me to look at two Psalms to prepare for this time with you guys, Psalm 30 and Psalm 31. And let me just say, there's a lot of nuggets, there's a lot of truth contained in those two Psalms. And I was it was a bit daunting to try to figure out how I was going to use all that was contained in those two Psalms. So I cheated a little bit. I brought it down to two verses in Psalm 31. But I would encourage all of you to go back and to read Psalm 30 and 31. But I brought it down to Psalm 31, verse 9 and 10. And before I read this to you, my wife did homiletics on these two chapters, and she came up with a subject sentence for Psalm 31. And it goes like this: David cries for deliverance from his grief. So let's read this Psalm 31, verse 9 and 10. Be gracious to me, David says. Be gracious to me, O Lord. He is going to the one who can heal the brokenhearted. He knows who to go to. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief. He is in agony and pain. He is experiencing loss, and the emotions are coming crashing down on him like an avalanche. My soul and my body also, for my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails. I'm here to tell you, maybe you haven't experienced this yet, but you will experience this. You will experience loss that will bring you to this point. It will happen. You cannot avoid it. And your strength will fail. Your heart will break. Because of my iniquity, and my bones wasted away. What did David do when he was in grief, when he was in pain, when he had suffered loss that brought him to this point? He went to the one who can heal the brokenhearted, and he spilled his guts to him. He poured out his pain to the Creator God. He did it to the one who knows and understands the pain. And not only knows and understands, but the one who can heal his broken heart. Don't be afraid to go to the Creator. He's calling you by name. The beginning in the garden, Adam, where are you? Elijah, when he ran and the pain that he was going through, he came, Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here in the cave? He's calling you by name, and he is saying, tell me what is going on. He already knows, but he wants you to unpack it and tell him. He's waiting to enter into that and to heal the brokenhearted. Soul care. Go to the Creator. Go to your Father. Go to Jesus. And it goes beyond that. He invites us in to partner with him to help the brokenhearted. I'm going to unbutton my shirt here. Trust me, I have something on underneath it. Okay. I'm not unbuttoning it because I think I look good or anything, but I have something that I want to show you guys. Okay. It says, go redeem. Go redeem. This is the motto of one of our projects. This is the motto of this church. Right? To be the ones that go out to bring the message of redemption. How do we go about doing it? Well, one way that we go about doing it comes from Romans 12:15. Weep with those who weep. The ministry of crying. The ministry of sharing in the pain of the brokenhearted. We are to be like Jesus. Jesus wept. I think about a time that I was in a home of a Syrian family, and this young boy, 5 years old, wanted to sit in my lap and to show me pictures of his four cousins who had been murdered. The bodies in the pictures laying on the ground. Horrific scene. 5 years old. 5 years old. And he wanted to just sit in my lap and to have me stare at those pictures. And we just sat there for over 20 minutes, just looking at the pictures. I said nothing. I needed to say nothing. The only thing I needed to do was to weep with those who weep. I was recently at a wedding, a joyous occasion, after this time with this young man that I just described, and he was there. And he came running up and jumped up and gave me a massive hug. I did was sit with him for a little over 20 minutes and wept with him. Go redeem. Weep with those who weep. It's not easy. It can be very hard when people are in pain. Sometimes we feel like we want to go away from that. But Jesus says to run into that situation and to weep with those who weep. Be like Jesus. Partner with Him. He may use you as part of the instrument to bind up the broken heart. Close and let me pray. We thank you so much that you value our souls, that you are willing to give yourself to redeem us. and to bind up the brokenhearted. We give you praise. God, we pray for everyone here. There are some here that are probably going through times of loss, times of grief. Their hearts are breaking. Their strength is gone. God, we pray for them that they would turn their eyes upon Jesus, the one who knows and understands and the ones who can bind up the broken heart. And God, we pray that you would heal them. That you would heal them. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.